I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
So if you would turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, as we're going to just touch on one part of the Christmas story today. Now tonight at our candlelight service at 9 o'clock, we invite you all out for that. We read the entire Christmas story. We sing more traditional Christmas songs. It's just a wonderful time as we focus on what Christmas is all about. And so we're very excited of that. We just feel it's a wonderful time to reframe and refocus about what the meaning for the season is. Amen. Today I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. I'm going to read just the story of the shepherds. You know, we hear different parts of the Christmas story. Today I want to focus on the story with the shepherds. And I'm going to read this out of the NET translation today, which is the New English Translation. There's just a couple words that I wanted that are a little different from the NLT or New King James Version. So I wanted to make sure that those were highlighted a little correctly for us as we look through this today with fresh eyes. Amen? So you can follow along in whatever version you have or take that fancy phone of yours and just switch over translations to the NET, and we'll be able to follow along. Starting in verse 8. Now, there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds had said. And I'm going to stop right there for now. You know, as I read this passage and I was looking at it and studying for today's message, I find myself asking questions like a child sometimes. Why? You know, parents, you ever been faced with your kids and you tell them something and the first thing they say is why? You know, it's just like everything you say is why? You know, well, I kind of am that way sometimes too. So, you know, don't let them pick on you too much. Say, I'm just inquisitive here. I want to know, you know. But I read this passage and I said, why? Why did the angel appear to the shepherds first? Why? I don't understand. As I've read this, you know, I've read the Christmas story over and over, and you know, but why was it so important? Because nothing in the Word of God is by accident. Amen. You don't understand that? Nothing is just by chance. It just happened that way. There's always a reason and a purpose for everything. So I began to ask myself, were these shepherds that were just minding their own business? You know, anybody ever been, you're just, how many is a mind your own business kind of person? You know, you're over here minding your own, I just want to mind, I ain't worried about all your drama. I'm just over here minding my own business. You know, some people like to mind their own business until someone comes and tell them someone else's business. I'm over here minding my business. What'd you say about them? Oh, well, let me go see that. I'd like to go over and see. Did you hear so-and-so got a new car? Well, let me drive by their house today. You know, I'm going to mind my own business until someone comes and tells me something about somebody else. You know, so I was kind of, were these shepherds just minding their own business? Were they just out in the field, minding their own business, watching the flock? And the angel decided, we're going to go talk to these people that are minding their own business, and we're going to tell them that the Savior of the world has come. I don't think so. That just didn't jive with me. So I was like, these shepherds must have had an invested interest in what was happening that day. So I want to ask you today, are you here minding your own business in church? Or do you have an invested interest in the Savior that has come? Too many people come and follow this Christian thing. Well, I'm just minding my own business. Y'all just do whatever. But I want to tell you, I have an invested interest into this Jesus thing. Amen. He came to save me from my sins. I think I'm a little invested in him. So I began to think these shepherds, maybe they had an invested interest as well. And you know, I'm not sure what you've been taught about shepherds that were in the field that night. I'm not sure if you have preconceived notions or ideas. But I want to tell you that they were no ordinary shepherds. See, ordinary shepherds were considered the low of the low, the low class, you know, poor and broken down. And I mean, we even sing songs about he did come for the broken and the poor and the weary. And he did. Jesus did come for that. That's how we all were at one time. But he didn't come to speak to the low and broken and poor and uneducated first. That's just not what he did, you know? So we have to look at some things about ordinary shepherds. They were poor, uneducated, dirty. They were the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder, you know? Religious leaders, rabbis, had actually banned pasturing sheep and goats in Israel, except for on desert plains. This is, they found these in some additional writings in the Mishnah, that they had banned shepherding nearby cities. They had banned it, you were to be in the mountain region or the desert plains. You weren't to be in the cities because it was, the shepherds were such a low class of people. They wanted them out in the wilderness. The Mishnah, the Mishnah is the Judaism's written record of the oral law. It even reflects this prejudice against shepherds, referring to them as incompetent. And another passage says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. I mean, that was their oral tradition that the rabbis had written of shepherds, because they had just looked at them as such a lower class. But these shepherds were different. First of all, we know that because they weren't way out in the wilderness. Verse 8 says, it tells us that they were nearby, living in the field. They were nearby. So that's a clue for us, first of all. So we've got a clue. We're going on a hunt today. Well, you know, we see that they were nearby, not way out in the desert, not way out in the field, that they were nearby. Okay? And then verse 11 gives us another clue to who these shepherds may have been, because they're no ordinary shepherds. It says, today your Savior is born. So he's talking to them directly, so they must have not been minding their own business, not knowing that a Messiah was coming. They had to have an invested interest looking and waiting and watching for a Messiah. You know, so they weren't Gentiles, they were Jews. Another thing to think about here, I want to point this out, is they weren't just shepherds, but they were priests. These priests had a job to do of shepherding. See, as many priests there were, some priests had a job, a duty of teaching law. Some had a job of counseling. Some had a job of all these different things. But these priests had a specific job, and their job was shepherding. Well, that's interesting. So the question is, why was their job shepherding, and what were they shepherding? They were shepherding the lambs that were for Passover. These lambs were only born one time of year, and they were the priests are to protect these sheep, these lambs, to make sure they were without what? Spot or blemish. The priest's job was to do that, because they didn't trust it to an incompetent shepherd. They didn't trust some regular old shepherd to bring in the lamb for sacrifice one day and say, here's the lamb to sacrifice. And the priest goes, where'd you get this lamb? How do we know this lamb is without spot or blemish? How do we know that this lamb has been protected and had the right and is worthy to be sacrificed? But The job of these shepherds, these priests, were to watch these lambs because they were for the sacrifice for Passover. Do you know this is happening right now? There are priests in Israel today that are guarding, protecting, feeding, and watching the red heifers to make sure that they grow up and that they are protected and that they are to be found this Passover season. We're coming up on it. This Passover season without spot or blemish, without one black hair, without one white hair. That was the same job and duty of these shepherds all those years ago. Now I know you're wondering if this is just my opinion, but it is not. The Mishnah, again, the oral Torah, helps us understand this with this statement. It says that the Messiah would be revealed from the Migdal Eder, which is translated Tower of the Flock. So that the Messiah would be revealed by the Migdal Eder. So you're going, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. The Migdal Eder. So I want to point this out to you. The first time that Migdal Eder was found for you is in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verses 19 through 21. We're just painting our context so that you understand that everything through this is through Scripture. It says, so Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrah. That is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a stone monument over Rachel's grave, and it can be seen there to this day. And then Jacob traveled on and camped beyond Migdal Eder. So there it is, Migdal Eder. The Tower of Eder is what it meant. And it translates the Tower of the Flock. Okay? Now, that doesn't prove everything I'm saying yet just because I found that word in the Bible. So let's go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 8. And you, O Tower of the Flock. Well, here we go. Now, first we find Migdal Eder in Genesis 35. And now as we move to Micah chapter 4, verse 8, it gives the actual, instead of saying Migdal Eder, gives the translation. It says, and you, O Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Is there no counselor perished? Has your counselor perished? What is he? He's the great king. He is the great counselor. And he's asking them in this prophecy, is there no king? Has your counselor perished? But then he says, for pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Okay. We're going somewhere. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city and you shall dwell in the field. But the field that they are dwelling in, the field that these priests are dwelling in, are the fields right outside of Bethlehem. The field at the watchtower. The tower where they were to watch the sacrificial lamb. The tower where the flock of sacrifices were held. It says, you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go, and you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now jumping over to Micah chapter 5. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. Who are they talking about? Come on. I mean, they're talking about Jesus Christ, our King. It says, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting, and therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock. Now it changes from his, it's a capital H, his flock, not the shepherd watching over the flock, but Jesus Christ has returned to his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Amen. So you see, these angels came to these shepherds because they were priests guarding the sacrificial lambs to look at them and say, the job that you have done, you've done a good job, and you've been waiting for a king. You've been waiting for a counselor, and I want to tell you, he's here. These shepherds that weren't minding their own business had an invested interest in those lambs and watching the flock. And the angel came and he said, now the time of animal sacrifice is coming to an end. The duty that you have done is almost over. You have issued your time in service, and now the Lamb of God is here.
Hallelujah.
That's good stuff. So they looked and it says, man, they weren't just wandering in a field. They were expecting a Messiah. Yes. And as they were expecting Messiah at the watchtower of the flock, see, priests were in the flock watching the flock, and others were down with the flock, guarding the flock and protecting the flock. Because, you know, in church, just like then, we are all priests in the kingdom of God, and we all have priestly duties. Some are in the watchtower and some are among the sheep. But it's important that we understand that we have a job to do just like they did. But too many times we act like we're minding our own business, Christians, instead of having invested interest into the story of Jesus. They were set apart. It says that they wanted to go see. They hurried and said, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that we have been waiting for. Yep. They hurried along. They didn't take their time. Well, you know, people, we go to people nowadays. Oh my gosh, guess what? There's a revival that broke out in church. Really? Well, I may try to get there next week. Someone comes, oh, there was a bit of a miracle. So this person was healed. Well, that's really good. But, you know, I was busy. I couldn't make it that night. Because we serve this Christianity thing like we're just minding our own business. And if it happens to fit with our schedule, then all right. But that ain't how these shepherds were. They knew it was their duty to watch the lamb. They knew it was their duty to protect. Verse 20 says in Luke chapter 2, it says, so the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and everything was just as they had been told. The prophecy that they had been waiting on had come to pass, and they wanted to go about glorifying and praising God and telling everyone all they had seen. Yes. Do we still feel that way today? Do we go about glorifying and praising the name of God and telling people about the wonderful miracle of Jesus? Do we spend time this Christmas season saying, hey, Merry Christmas? Or do we say, you know, Jesus the King came? You know, what is our focus on? What has our focus been on? See, everything was just as they had been told, just as they had been taught. Everything that had been prophesied from Isaiah to now had come. Can you imagine being in those times? And you've been heard, you've been told stories and prophecies all through Isaiah and all through Jeremiah, and these oral traditions passed down from, you know, generation to generation telling you that a Messiah was coming. And then it comes and you have the opportunity to go and see. I mean, wow, wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't it be exciting to live in those times? Anybody want to live in those times? Guess what? You're living in those times. Because see, the unique thing about the Bible is that there was a prophecy about a Messiah coming. And they were excited and they were watching and they were waiting and they were ready for the Messiah to come. But there's also some other prophecies in the Bible that the Messiah was coming again.
Right.
He's coming again. And this time, we're going to be caught up with him. So as we're sitting here this Christmas season excited about the first prophecy of the Messiah coming, should we not be watching and waiting about the second time that he's coming? I mean, to live in those times would have been spectacular, but they would have given anything to live in our time, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be able to see miraculous things happen, to be in the generation, I believe we're in the generation that's going to be called up to the sky to see Jesus. Well, man, they would have given anything to be a part of that this generation.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could serve God now, if I could be alive now, we always want to look at it and if I could go back in time, I'd live in this time period. We are living in the most exciting time period in all of creation. We've watched prophecy after prophecy come to pass, just like those shepherds and those priests. They had watched for prophecy after prophecy to come to pass and said, soon the Messiah is coming. But we here at Faith Worship Center, we make sure that you're taught correctly and we show you when these prophecies take place. These prophecies are happening every day around us. We should not be minding our own business, but we should have an invested interest into what's happening, an invested interest into Israel. That's why we have an invested interest into Israel, because the prophecies that are spoken of in the Word of God and the Bible are coming to pass in Israel today. We are seeing those things happen. The prophecy of the red heifers. We talked about this a couple years ago when they were first found and then sent to Israel. Church, that's a big deal. It's a prophecy. And if you're sitting here today scratching your head saying, what are you talking about? It's a prophecy you should go look up. Because pure red heifers without spot or blemish must be sacrificed one last time for the temple to be built. The last temple. There's prophesied in the Word of God. They will be of age this Passover season.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Lou, did you know that these heifers are in Israel and that they could be sacrificed this Passover season? Did you know that they could begin to start building the temple as early as later next year? Did you know that this is so close in our time life that we're going to see this happen? I mean, do we go around telling people, glorifying, are we excited about what's happening? Do you know they're getting ready to build the third temple, the last temple? I mean, we're not talking about Solomon's temple. We're not talking about David's temple. We're talking about the temple that the kingdom of God is going to reign from. Oh, man. Well, I'm minding my own business. Well, you know, it'd be kind of neat, I guess. Maybe we could take a trip to Israel and see it one day, Troy. We don't act like we have an invested interest into anything going on. But I tell you, it's funny how some people get an invested interest into something. They put a little skin in the game. I do not condone gambling. But I tell you what. You put a gambler that's got skin in a game, he puts some money down on a game, and he's watching that TV like sweating, and come on, team, win. He's got an invested interest into that game, and that's all he cares about. What about Christians?
Yeah.
Do we have an invested interest into Jesus? Do we have an invested interest into seeing those that are lost come to know him?
Amen.
Do you know I have an invested interest in you today? If you're here today and you're not serving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I have an invested interest in you today. Because you shouldn't leave here today without making him the Lord of your life.
Right.
We have to have an invested interest into people. We can't just be wandering around thinking that, oh, one day when Jesus comes back, an angel's going to pop to us like minding our own business shepherds and go, by the way, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Get yourself right. I don't think that's what the Word of God says about the second coming of Jesus. Do you?
No.
Just in case you don't know, let's look at there. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. I'm not going to keep you long today, by the way. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. It says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. When we're living in that world right now. People are going to wake up tomorrow morning and they're going to be excited about Christmas and they're going to open their presents and they're going to laugh and have an exciting time and they're going to go eat food with family. And some people, not one time, will remember that Jesus came. They won't give one thought, one pause, one prayer, one thank you that Jesus Christ came.
Yes.
No, they'll just wake up and say, we've got a party to get to. There's people that aren't here today. Some are gone to be with their family in other towns and cities, and I understand that. Some just said, well, I'm not coming because it's Christmas Eve. You don't know the meaning of Christmas. I don't care what you say. What you've got going on, you don't know the meaning of Christmas and you have no invested interest into Jesus Christ. Because we're worried about everything else. It says people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. People will not realize what is going to happen, but I'm here to tell you so you can tell others that Jesus Christ is coming back again.
Yes.
For a church, for his bride.
Yes.
That is ready, that is waiting, that is watching, that is expecting.
Yes.
His return. It says, that is way that it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in a field and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill and one will be taken and the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So I don't know about you, but the Bible has given me clear instructions that Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yes.
That's the prophecy that I'm waiting on, the prophecy that I'm expecting. The question is, where will you be when it happens?
Yeah.
Will you be the one left behind? Will you be the one that didn't have enough oil in your lamp? Will you be wandering shepherds that say they're just minding your own business? Or will you be invested, interest, priest, waiting for the prophecy to come true? Because I want you to know, just as they waited for Christmas, for Jesus to come, we should also be expecting a Messiah.
Yes.
We should be expecting his return, watching and waiting and anticipating. So my message to you is to be alert. Stay alert this Christmas season. Be ready for Jesus to come again. Because the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, is coming again.
Yes.
And I love this time of year as we focused on the gift that the Father gave as he sent his Son. So much more so will it be when he comes again. And I don't want to be caught believing a Bible story, fairy tale, that these were just minding their own business, and all of a sudden the angel came and gave them a heads up, a warning, that they went to see the Messiah. No, this was important to them. They had an invested interest. And today you have to ask yourself, do I have an invested interest? Man, is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life? And do I live for him? Do I serve him? Do I serve him? I don't want someone to look at me one day and not know if I was waiting or expecting Jesus or not. I don't want someone to just think I didn't care about their salvation. Because we have to care about others and their salvation. We have to tell them, Jesus is coming. It's great that we're celebrating Christmas and we're celebrating the gift that he came, but it's more important that we realize he's coming again and we've got to be ready. We got to get our hearts right. Because he came, we have the opportunity to do that. Because the rest of that story is Jesus came and he died. He died on a cross for you, taking the sins of all mankind. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me because I am a sinner. Come into my life and let me live for you. Would you bow your heads? I could give you no greater gift today than the good news that Jesus Christ came to die for you. If you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you've not asked him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, please don't leave here today without making him the Lord of your life. If you need me to pray for you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you today. Anyone here today, thank you. Anyone here today that says, I haven't made him the Lord of my life. Thank you. And what about my second call is for those that said, I'm guilty of just been minding my own business. I've just been doing my own thing, minding my own business. But today I want to take an invested interest into Jesus Christ. Can I see your hand? I don't want to mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you. Multiple hands going up. I don't want to just mind my own business anymore. I want to be an agent of change for Jesus. If that's you, come on. Yes, thank you. We cannot live our life not worried about what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is coming again. Today, choose who you will serve. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? I just want to pray for you today. Oh, hallelujah. If we'd all repeat this prayer after me, just for those that raised their hand, because if you didn't raise their hand, I'm assuming you already served Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of your life, and you have an invested interest in serving him, so you won't mind saying that prayer anyway. Say, dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins, for taking you for granted, for not having an invested interest into your kingdom. Today I ask that you come into my life, come into my heart, make it new. Let me live for you from this day forward. Let me love your people. Let me make a difference in someone's life. And while you're at it, fill me, Holy Spirit. Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest thing we can do is when we've received this gift, is tell someone about it. We get so excited about sharing everything else. This is the best news that there is. Man, the gift that Jesus came is great, but that he's coming again. In the world that we're living in, there's no better news than to tell someone you don't have to worry about all the pain and all the things you see in this world. Jesus is coming to make it all right. Amen. You don't have to live in fear if you know Jesus is coming. Amen. I want you to be blessed this holiday season. And I want you to have a great time with family and friends and all those things. But I want you to remember Jesus. I want you to say that he is the reason for everything. Amen. Tonight we will have our candlelight service at 9 o'clock. It's just a precious time. You have opportunity today to get out and spend time with your family and then come on back tonight at 9 before you head home. The kids can even show up in pajamas, okay? So you just come on in pajamas, take them home, go right to bed. But it's a wonderful time. It's about just 45 minutes as we just read the Christmas story, sing some wonderful songs, and it's a great time in his presence. Amen. I want you to know that I love you, and I hope that you have a Merry Christmas. And I'm going to invite Brother Lou to come up, tell you how much he loves you too, and closes out in a word of prayer. Right here, Brother Lou.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for such a meaningful message. God, we cherish this time with you, Lord God, and Father, as we go to wherever it is that we're going today, O Lord God, I ask you to bless each one. God, we cherish your presence as we go. Keep us safe. And God, let us remember that Jesus is the reason for everything that we do. To your honor and to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.